Are you a conspiracy theorist? Come on, you can tell me. I won't judge. I want to hear from you. Conspiracy theories are on the rise, and it's no surprise when you think about how easy the internet has made it to spread information. If you've ever wondered where conspiracy theories actually come from, you're not alone. Dr. Colin Klein is fascinated too. That's why he analysed a bunch of data in an effort to find out who's propagating conspiracy theories and why they're doing it. He's an associate professor at ANU. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me how you went about this research. What data did you actually analyse?
Sure. So my colleagues and I had a large publicly available data set of comments from the website reddit.com, which, if people aren't familiar with it, is a kind of large collection of forums. And we looked at all of the posts in the conspiracy subreddit over a period of about 7 years.
So where do the conspiracy theories come from? I mean, you know, the types of people. Is there a typical conspiracy theorist?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. So part of the thing that we were originally looking at was, you know, there's this kind of stereotypical conspiracy theorist of maybe, you know, white guy, maybe in his basement with a tinfoil hat. And there are people like that, but they're actually the tip of a much larger iceberg. So one thing that I've been impressed by is I think there's something, a little bit of the conspiracy theorist in all of us. Everyone does this to a degree, whether it's worrying about what senior management is doing or, you know, what's going to be, what this developer is doing over here. So you actually see quite a diverse group of people, each of whom is kind of getting something out of talking about conspiracy theories.
So tell me, what are the successful ones, if you want to describe them that way, the ones that gain the most traction?
Yeah, successful in some descriptive way. So very common ones recently, so 9/11 conspiracy theories have had, you know, been there from the beginning and have really continued to be popular on the forums. Conspiracy theories in the U.S. About, for example, gun confiscation and the idea that the government's going to take everyone's guns as a prelude to, you know, authoritarian rule. You also get kind of, although this is underrepresented in our sample, quite common about pharmaceutical companies and health-related conspiracy theories. This particularly gets into anti-vaccination.
So there's a sort of suspicion things. Of big pharma, isn't there, in all of
yeah,
that?
Yeah, suspicion of big pharma and of, I think, there's an anti-corporate strand generally, so a suspicion that, you know, corporations are mucking things up and hiding things from us.
Can you tell us anything about any Australian conspiracy theories? I know you said it kind of, you know, there's more US content, but what did you find in terms of what people are saying here in Australia?
I didn't pull out anything specifically Australian. Someone told me today there are classic ones, apparently, like there are pumas in the Victorian bush, the prime minister who disappeared. I heard somebody in talking about this that the CIA was involved in this. So you get, yeah. I mean, I think one of the amazing things about conspiracy theories is anything that's even slightly unusual or controversial, people can latch onto and say, you know, build a conspiracy theory around it.
So where do conspiracy theories come from and how do they gain traction?
So I think it's a really interesting question. I think a lot of it, at least initially, when people talk on conspiracy forums, and this was interesting to me as a philosopher, it's not clear to me that a lot of the people really fully believe what they're talking about. They kind of offer things as hypotheses. Sometimes people are just playing around. So there's the Pizzagate conspiracy theory. Listeners aren't familiar to it. This is that Hillary Clinton was part of a child sex slave ring run out of a pizza shop in D.C., that was very clearly, I think, to my mind, just people kind of messing around on the internet, and then it gets some traction, and then, you know, it kind of loses the original satire edge, and people just start believing it. So I think there's this real storytelling element to it as people are trying to make sense of what's going on, and then that gets amplified by these communities until these stories kind of take on a life of their own.
What draws people to a conspiracy theory?
I think the general kind of finding is that what starts people off is usually some kind of distrust of the media or government or corporations. And in many cases, this is actually distrust that has, you know, reasonable historical roots. So thinking that the CIA has done sketchy things in the past is true. So, you know, you start off by this idea that there have been some conspiracies and then things don't seem quite right. I mean, and then beyond that, I think a lot of it actually is dependent on what people's individual interests are. There is this kind of self-overcoming narrative that you see a lot where it's almost like people get a lease on life because the scales have fallen off of their eyes and they can see, you know, they can all of a sudden see these patterns. I think it always starts, or almost always starts, with this kind of distrust of official narratives and then starts developing from there.
Why is the spread of conspiracy theories a concern?
Yeah, I do find it concerning. So I think some of it is you get this kind of vicious cycle where people start by distrusting the government and then you buy conspiracy theories at least a little bit. That leads to more distrust. And that's a very hard cycle to break. So you get to this point where people don't really trust any of the official sources anymore. And then it becomes very hard to have the kind of common ground that democracy needs. I also think that we rely a lot on institutions that we trust. So things like the media, science works this way as well. And that kind of trust is fragile and takes a long time to build up. And once it's torn down, there aren't obvious replacements. I also think there are just smaller problems that you get. So take, for example, the recent census in Australia, and this happens in the US as well. You get conspiracy theories about what's going to be done with that. And what happens is, you just get inaccurate or missing data. And these seem like small things, but they add up over time.
And do you think you can get to the bottom of conspiracy theories and actually combat them in some way? I mean, is there any kind of way of coming back at them?
I mean, yeah, it's a tricky topic. So part of the problem is actually conspiracy theorists are very self-aware in many ways. And so, people have proposed, well, let's just plant some people in conspiracy forums and try to steer them. But conspiracy theorists already think that the government is planting people in forums. So you can actually do more harm than good that way. One thing, the kind of positive lesson, if you want to take it away from our study, is that the really hardcore and kind of really incorrigible conspiracy theorists, although they're very vocal, are really a small minority. So I think a lot of people who post on conspiracy forums are, kind of legitimately questioning and legitimately open to the right kinds of ideas. And so they're not hopeless cases.
Dr. Colin Klein, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Colin Klein is a lead researcher on this study into conspiracy theories. He's from the ANU School of Philosophy. What are the weirdest conspiracy theories you've heard? Do you believe any of them? Come on, fess up. 0418 226 576 is the text line.